The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Trump's been president-elect for 3 days, and the country already looks different. New York City saying no mas to free food for illegals. The caravans in Mexico are breaking up. Toyota is saying they're going to invest more in gas-powered cars. Europe wants to buy energy from the United States instead of Russia. Qatar is kicking Hamas out. The Dow hitting an all-time high. Jack Smith dropping his case. And Soros-funded DAs are packing their bags. America's healing.
What a difference. What a difference one leader can make. Of course, we know the ripple effect of Donald Trump's return. It's going to spread right around the world. And we'll talk about that on today's show, as well as some other things. Again, some pretty spectacular things happening here in the United States. Events, as you know, if you're a regular viewer, that have been prophesied. We're living in the midst of so much fulfilled prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning. At least it's morning time here in Oklahoma. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. So when I have a morning class, I never have quite enough time to prepare for these shows, or at least not as much as I'd like. But this was a day, and you know, some of the show prep was happening yesterday here and there as well. But this was a program where you really and truly could have settled in on any of the three or four themes, hopefully, if we have time, and expanded it out to one entire show. There's just so many earth-shaking events that are happening right now. I'll get to the difference that leadership makes. I mean, good leadership and the impact that it can have on policies, on communities, on nations, even the whole world. But you look at the reaction, and we didn't touch on this as much last week, but what's happening in Europe, specifically Germany. We'll spend a lot more time on that in the weeks ahead, for sure. Because here you have Donald Trump. He returns to power, or he's going to anyway. He's voted back, as is prophesied. That was November 5th, and then November 6th, last week, Germany's government collapses. And my father's been saying over the years that when Germany's weak, or when the coalitions are weak, that's just clearing the way for a strong man, a prophesied strong man. Look at Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. He comes in through flatteries. He's not voted in. And so Scholz's government collapses. They're going to have a referendum, I guess, January, elections perhaps as early as next March. They're reacting to... They're reacting to the return of Donald Trump. And so many of the elites in Europe, they don't like him. They don't like Trump. They don't like how he operated the first time around. They were preferring Kamala. But at the same time, over the last many months, they've been bracing themselves for Donald Trump. And there's going to be a reaction, a strong reaction to Trump's second term. Together with that storyline, as I said last week, there are so many storylines, but just the amount of articles that you're seeing now about Barack Hussein Obama being silenced, his coalition just breaking apart. I mean, he's disappeared all of a sudden. The dear leader, the one that they swooned before. We're working on a montage, maybe for tomorrow. Just to take you back to 2008, 2009. I mean, Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize before he did anything. They handed him, he could do no wrong. It's not even that he could do no wrong. He did nothing. He did nothing, and he got the Peace Prize. This man who triggered wars abroad, who triggered a war at home, who tried to fundamentally transform the United States, in fact, blot out even the name, as we know from prophecy. And God has essentially blotted him out. This is just astounding. I've got the clips for you if we have time today. If not, we'll get into it tomorrow. My father, back in a July message, talking about God silencing Barack Obama. He makes the same point in America Under Attack, the 2022 version. 2 years ago, 2 years ago, my father was saying Obama eventually is going to be silenced. He's going to lose his power. He's going to lose his control. And now you've got even his own biographer writing about Obama's shadow presidency, how he set up shop in D.C. after he left office. He's been running the show with Joe Biden. He moved Biden out of the way in June or July, I guess it was. And now his impact, his influence, his power, it's gone. Just like that. My father's been talking about that for years, and it's happening. And of course, it's based on Amos 7. You've got all of this Obama-led devastation in the first six verses, and then boom, in the middle of Amos 7, he's silenced. He disappears. He's gone. God's giving us some pretty spectacular detail with respect to fulfilled prophecy, with respect to prophecies that have been recorded for thousands of years and they're for our time today. I mean, it's exhilarating. Talk about faith builders as we see God's hand, God's involvement miraculously in the affairs of men to carry out his purpose. Last week I talked about how, you know, amid all of the division, the strife, the insurrections, and so on, that once King Solomon came to power, once he was made king, once that had God's blessing, all of the division, the strife, the infighting, it just settled a bit. And as I said last week, you see a fair bit of calmness in the United States right now. There are signs emerging that it's not going to hold for very long. It's amazing how I was saying in class today, we were going through 1 Corinthians 14 and just how that as teachers, as presenters, you want to give a clear sounding message that people can understand and know. Paul said, I'd rather give five words that everyone can understand than to go on and on with just vain babbling in some unknown language. I mean, if people don't understand the message, what's the point? And as I was saying in class, I mean, here you've got senators. They're gathering behind closed doors. They're working in the shadows. They're going to have a secret vote on Wednesday. They can't make it known. They can't come out of the closet, politically speaking. Because, you know, the two that are in the top running, they're Mitch McConnell clones, and they don't like Trump. So here you have all of the gamesmanship. You have all of the political shenanigans going on behind closed doors. Rick Scott comes out. He's on Maria's show yesterday saying why he should be the Senate majority leader. He's selling himself. And then the other two, Thune and Cornyn, they decline. They don't want to go on Fox News. They want to do the dealings behind closed doors. They want the secret vote. So then they can come forward. They can pretend that, oh, yeah, we're all right on board with Trump. And then they can carry on resisting against Trump. We'll see how Donald Trump, to this point, he's just said, hey, whoever gets in there, the MAGA agenda's got to go forward. We've got a mandate. And maybe those McConnell clones will comply with it to some degree. But it's when you look at their past, look at their clear messages in the past, anti-Trump this, anti-Trump that. How refreshing, though, how different it is when you just get a leader that, for all of his faults, you know, usually you don't have to try to figure out what Donald Trump is saying. He's pretty straightforward. Listen to this. This is Tom Holman. This is the guy he's tapped for being the border czar. And to think, when you listen to this man speak, when you listen to his message, I mean, he's giving a clear sound. I was listening to these clips just thinking, I can't even believe that Kamala was the border czar for 4 years. And she did her best to destroy the country with a wide open border. No security, no control, nothing. Look at how that lack of action, lack of leadership. Look at the contrast between that and then now this guy who's going to help. He's going to help Donald Trump close the border and deport the illegals. Listen to this man's message. There's a few that he's had over the years. We've put it together here. Clip 10.
We have seen one estimate that says it would cost $88 billion to deport 1 million people a year.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Is that what American taxpayers should expect?
What price do you put on national security? Is it worth it?
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
Which includes family separation.
The same as is when every U.S. citizen parent gets arrested when they're with a child.
Zero tolerance was interpreted as the policy that separated children from their...
If I get arrested for DUI and I have a young child in a car, I'm going to be separated. When I was a police officer in New York and I arrested a father for domestic violence, I separated that...
Mr. Holman, with all due respect, legal asylees are not charged with any crime.
When you're in the country illegally, it's violation 8 United States Code 1325.
Seeking asylum is legal.
If you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry, do it the legal way. The Attorney General of the United States has made that clear.
Okay.
I got a message to the millions of illegal aliens that Joe Biden's released in our country in violation of federal law. You better start packing now. Because you're going home. I got another message to the criminal cartels in Mexico. You smuggled enough fentanyl across this country to kill 148,000 young Americans. You have killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined. And that's when President Trump gets back in office. He's going to designate you a terrorist organization, and he's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. You're done. You're done.
Now, I understand there's plenty of people on the left that don't like that message. They don't want that message. They don't want that sort of action taken. But you can't deny the fact that it's a clear message. If you're in here illegally, you better pack your bags because you're going home. And oh, by the way, you cartels in Mexico and otherwise, you better be ready for war. Because you're terrorists and you're killing Americans and we're coming after you like terrorists. Now, that's a clear message. Like Jesse said in the cold open, there's caravans already breaking up because they know there's different leadership. The difference between the policies is night and day. I mean, when you have a show of strength and you're clear with your message, it's amazing how quickly people will fall in line. I mean, America is getting ready for a very different approach to border security. Some would say a refreshing change, a change for the better, a change that actually helps Americans. I mentioned on the show, I believe it was Friday, again, Solomon, when he came in and things settled down a bit. As one of our news gatherers reminded me, though, he had to come in and administer some justice as well. That did a lot to help quiet things down. He had to come in and deal with people that were guilty of criminality, of lawlessness, of insurrection. You've got to use government to suppress that sort of rebellion. Otherwise, everything just turns into anarchy. Let me just give you a few verses. This is from 1 Kings 1, verse 48. It says, and also Thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has given one to sit on my throne this day, my eyes, even seeing it. It says, and all the guests that were with Adonijah, he's the leader of the insurrection, were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. They started to scatter like cockroaches as they realized, we're going to go head to head with Solomon here. And Adonijah, verse 50, feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Verse 51, and it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon. For lo, he has caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. He had an opportunity, Adonijah, another opportunity to show himself to be a worthy man, to be repentant, in other words, to have a change of heart. Solomon gave Adonijah, the chief insurrectionist, a chance to show that he had changed. But Adonijah couldn't help himself, could he? He tried to stage another coup by marrying one of David's concubines, and Solomon had to put him to death. Solomon had to administer justice. Verse 53 says, King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, go to your house. And he did for a time, but as I say, it didn't hold. It wasn't enduring repentance, let's just say it that way. There's examples with Abiathar, with Joab. Solomon had to execute Joab. You know, when you look at there, you just saw Holman. That's some strong leadership there that he's projecting. And if you think about the prophesied resurgence, I suppose the size and the length of this, I mean, only God knows. But how much of it is going to be determined by a Trump administration that administers justice? I gave you those articles last week where they're shaking in their boots at the DOJ. Okay, what's Trump going to do? Are we going to be held to the same standard that we've been applying? Chris Wray, he's going to try to quietly depart. I pointed out just the difference in the tone between Bill Barr 6-7 months ago and then Bill Barr today, 6-7 months ago, he's saying, oh, well, these cases, open, shut case. No, Trump's going to prison. It's that clear cut with the classified documents. And then just last week, after Trump, after we now know Trump is returning to power, you have Bill Barr saying, yeah, the DA, they didn't really have a case with it. They should drop all those cases. Leave Trump alone. They start singing a different tune, don't they? When authority, when leadership, true leadership returns to power, just look at how different the border's going to be treated, whether you're border security or whether you're in a caravan heading north. To just live with the gringo, the dumb gringo that's going to give you all this money, all of these handouts, and there's the CBS reporter. Yeah, but now isn't this going to be expensive? It's expensive to welcome in the world and to give them freebies all over the place. Somehow, this is lost on these people. And by the way, where's the outrage? This woman, this reporter's going after Holman, basically saying, hey, this is going to be costly. And then you have AOC for her part. Hey, you're going to be splitting up families as if she cares about the traditional family. These are people working actively and aggressively to undermine and even destroy the foundational pillars that hold up any strong and stable society. That would be the family institution. They're working to destroy marriage. They're working to separate children from parents all the time. And then you talk about deporting illegals. Can't do it. Can't do it because we love families, you see. We love families. You'll notice there in that exchange that AOC finally gave up and wanted to change the subject. You're going to separate family. Well, we have to do it when a father's out driving drunk with his little boy. We've got to take the father in. That's separating him from his child. That's what happens when you've got lawless parents that go into countries illegally. Where does it stop? It doesn't. Unless you have some righteous leadership that says, well, the way to keep those families together is to send them all home. Send the whole family home. It's going to cost $80 billion a year to send home a million. Well, how many billions and billions and billions is it costing America to just say, hey, world, come on in. Everybody's welcome. It is going to cost a ton of money. And it just highlights how disastrous this abomination of desolation has been. It's all by design, isn't it? It was all part of the Dear Leader's plan, fundamental transformation. Open the doors and let everyone in. The ones from the insane asylums, let them in. Prison systems in Venezuela, let them in. Let them take over Aurora, Colorado. Just let them all in. And then you've got AOC there, all virtually in tears. What about families? Shimei, he's the one that cursed David, threw stones at him. Solomon's dad. Then Solomon said, hey, you change your attitude, I'll show you mercy. But here again, later on in the story, he wouldn't follow instructions from the king. And so Solomon said, I've got to put you to death then. If you won't abide by the laws of the land, I've got to take action. I've got to administer justice. This is 1 Kings 2 and verse 44. The king said, moreover, to Shimei, you know all the wickedness which your heart is privy to, that you did to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return your wickedness upon your own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. It says, so the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and he died. And notice, it says in verse 46, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. That's how you establish a strong, stable kingdom. You have to administer justice. These crooked actors, these traitors, guilty of treason, so many of them in the deep state, led by Barack Obama, they've never been punished. That's why they're getting away with murder, in some cases, literally. They very nearly assassinated Donald Trump. They have been trying to destroy this man for years. And this bit of history, Solomon's reign, I mean, it gives us some insights into how you bring some stability. I mean, Jesse in that cold open, that was from his show Friday, but he's basically saying America's already beginning to heal. Well, how far is this healing going to go? I guess some of that is, I mean, it remains to be seen. But these are some pretty significant lessons of history. This is how you bring stability back. I mean, in some cases, you could argue that Donald Trump was too nice when he came in the first time. All those chants about going after Hillary for her obvious lawlessness. She had her own server set up while she was Secretary of State. Pay to play. This is how you keep any and all of those communications from ever seeing the light of day. No FOIA requests can get to those if you just set up the server in your basement. And everyone knew, Obama knew, they communicated with her through that server. Jim Comey just dropped it, set it aside, said it's not a big deal. She was just a little bit careless. How, you know, this story about Oprah Kamala pays her $1 million to get her endorsement? Oprah! She's a billionaire. That would be like me holding out saying, well, I'm not going to endorse somebody unless you give me $10. $10? This is to save democracy. Are there any of these people that are sincere and genuine in their cause? Or are they all fake? So much fakery and phoniness. And then Kamala, a political campaign, paying a celebrity $1 million to get her to interview her and to give her an endorsement. Is that even legal? What if Donald Trump went and paid somebody $1 million to show support for him and his campaign? Do you think Joe Scarborough would take that sitting down? He'd be screaming. He'd probably be still screaming today. This is the kind of, I mean, and then you read about Kamala's campaign being $20 million in debt. She had $1 billion to work with, and she's running an astronomical debt at the end of it all after getting humiliated, after just getting crushed. And she wants to be given charge over the United States of America and its economy and its border. Look at the way these people operate, even in a lot of cases in their individual lives. Sundance writes, when the FBI and the DOJ lawfare operatives want to frame their agenda and undermine their targets, they have historically leaked to the New York Times and Politico. Both outlets serve as the promoters for false or misleading information and benefits the bad actors inside the DOJ and the FBI. See, the New York Times, Politico, they're just a mouthpiece for the deep state. They're just there to promote the deep state's message. And Chris Wray and Garland and all of them, they know how to leak the message and, you know, tell the DOJ side of the story. And, of course, they're not to be questioned. It says, as a consequence, when the DOJ and FBI start freaking out, they run to the same New York Times and Politico. Politico's reporting today about how the lawfare operatives inside Maine Justice are panicking about what incoming President Trump will do. They're panicking. Just like Joab did, and Abiathar, and Adonijah, and Shimei. They're starting to panic. What's he going to do? Are they going to administer justice? Are they going to go after Tish James in New York? Jack Smith, all the lawfare that was meant to destroy Trump? How's this not going to happen again? I mean, we're history to go on long enough. How would this not happen again if the people involved are not punished? It says here, this is quoting the Politico story, a collective sense of dread has taken hold at the Department of Justice, which drew Donald Trump's rage like no other part of the federal government during his campaign. Some career attorneys at DOJ are already considering heading for the exits rather than sticking around to find out whether threats from Trump and his allies are real or campaign bluster. Those threats range from mass firings of deep state lawyers to expelling special counsel Jack Smith from the country. I saw a tweet yesterday suggesting Ken Paxton could be Trump's AG. How different would Maine Justice be with someone like Ken Paxton at the helm instead of Merrick Garland? Well, and even there, Sundance's point has long been that you can't change, you can't heal the rot at these institutions by just putting one guy in charge. It's got to be more thorough, the cleaning, the house cleaning, than just replacing Garland or Ray with someone better. These institutions are corrupt through and through. The corruption, I mean, it's embedded within. How do you fix it? We'll see how much headway Trump and his new staff will make. But these people do have good reason to worry because they know they're caught. They know the wild ride with the dear leader weaponizing their agencies and leading the way They know it's over. They know, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's kind of like Hamas or Hezbollah. The leadership has been decapitated now that the dear leaders, he's gone. He's been silenced. And so they can't get away with the lawlessness like they did for how long? Like I say, even the Obama biographer says that he set up shop there in D.C. During Trump's term. And then, of course, he's still there during Biden's term because he's operating this shadow presidency. This Politico piece. Everyone I've talked to, mostly lawyers, are losing their minds, said one DOJ attorney, who, like most of the people interviewed for this article, was granted anonymity to speak freely about colleagues and avoid retribution from the president-elect and his allies. It's all retribution. It's just revenge. No, it's justice. You're corrupt. And you've been exposed. The lawfare's been exposed. And like Sendan says, I mean, these are insiders at the DOJ leaking to Politico because they want to get their message out there. Retribution's coming. Yeah, well, we might just leave before Trump returns because we know he's got revenge in his blood. What about what you've done? What about what you're guilty of? It says here, the entire structure of Maine justice, this is Sundance now, as an institution is corrupt top to bottom. Much like the FBI, there's no agency, office, or subsidiary set of personnel within the DOJ that is not compromised by the modern mission of the organization. This is a critical point to accept because if it is not accepted, then we repeat the mistakes of thinking an attorney general alone can correct the problem. They cannot. Donald Trump's got a big job ahead of him. He's got a really big job, and you're going to need guys like Holman to come in there and be willing to clean house. Individuals willing to say, you know what, pack your bags. You know what, Mr. Cartel, you're a terrorist now, and we're going to take you out. You're killing Americans. You've killed more Americans than actual terrorists in the Middle East have. How's Europe? Just going back to what I touched on at the start, how are the leaders in Europe going to react to a Trump presidency? These are earth-shaking developments, this latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. I got started into it over the weekend. Is the world shifting right? Is this a conservative revolution? Is it a good thing? What does Bible prophecy have to say? What happens when the more nationalist, populist agenda starts working its way into the Holy Roman Empire in the heart of Europe? What happens when it's led by a strong man, which Macron and everyone else are calling for? They want it. They want a bigger military. They want to be able to act alone. I mean, all the bureaucrats over there, they're going to say, well, you know, it's Trump. He's threatening NATO. He's going to pull out of NATO. So we've just got to do it because we've got to defend ourselves. No, they want all that they can possibly milk out of the United States. Same with China, same with Russia, all of them. If we can get trillions and trillions and trillions more in interest payments or trade imbalances, whatever it is, I mean, we'll do that. We'll do that because right now as the reserve currency, they just print the money. And we can all get the freebies, so to speak, the handouts. When that finally dries up, you think they're going to be working to try to defend or help the United States? The U.S., after all, helped rebuild Germany following World War II. You think Germany's going to be there if it finally gets to that Ezekiel 4:5 point where we've got civil unrest in the streets all over America? You think we're going to get a pat on the back from some of our enemies abroad or our perceived, you know, allies? You better get your nose into the United States and Britain in prophecy. We've got to prepare ourselves for what's ahead. Yes, there's an Antiochus who's been hard at work to try to destroy America from within. But there's another one about to emerge in Europe, in Germany. that's going to go right to work trying to destroy America and Britain and little Judah from without. That's prophesied in your Bible. And just as sure as we were saying years ago, Obama's going to be silenced eventually. For 4 years, we said Donald Trump's coming back. Never mind what the polls say. Never mind what Paul Ryan says or any of the other rhinos, Nikki Haley. Never mind. He's coming back. I mean, that was a consistent message in this church the moment they stole the election in November of 2020. And all these prophecies have been fulfilled. So many of them. But as I said last week, it's not the end of the story. There's more to come. And thankfully, God gives us a preview. At least in the general framework of Bible prophecy, He gives us the framework. And we can see what's coming. Sundance says here, do you know, this is a separate piece. He says, do you notice the absence of all the things that were proclaimed as destined to happen on by the moonbats? He says, no riots, no mayhem, no burning crisis and mass protests, essentially quiet. It says, what we discover during this phase is that an unstable leftist population of 0.1% is not being stirred up by the intelligence community and the ideological leftist media who support them. Both the IC and their media are frozen. And you saw some of that last week in those clips I played from Morning Joe. They're just kind of like the deer in the headlights. They're frozen. They don't know quite what to do next. What's the next course of action? I mean, you can be sure rhinos and radical Democrats are plotting and scheming as they always do. But in many ways, they're leaderless. As we went through last week, they don't have the dear leader to lead the way. They can't just swoon like they did back in 2008 and 9 and then follow Obama through this devastating fundamental transformation. It says here, there is that phase in every abusive relationship when the abuser has run out of manipulation that works. They realize their victims are numb to their efforts. Things get quiet. It says, worse still for Democrats, the grassroots believers are in full retreat because they're realizing that they were gaslit into believing Kamala would win. They realize, in other words, that they were lied to. Kamala is the second coming of Obama. And Sundance gives some examples here of these popular leftist podcasts that are shedding followers by the thousands. And I think he's right when he talks about, you know, as far as the shadow government is concerned, I think this was Sundance, we touched on it last week. As far as the shadow government's concerned, I mean, it's a cabal of leaders, just a small group for the most part. And everyone's just made to follow along and not question them. You don't question Barack Obama. Well, that's finally changing. It's finally changing. And Democrats are having their eyes opened to the lies about Joe Biden, the lies about Kamala, the lies about the Democrat Party, the lies about the border, the lies about crime, the lies about the economy and inflation. This is from, speaking of Kamala's gross mismanagement of her campaign. Whether you look at it economically or just even in the approach. Oh, they've got the grassroots movement. I mean, they're overwhelming Trump. She's so popular. Everybody loves her. Listen to Jesse Waters again from the end of last week, clip two.
We learned two things about Kamala this election. She's good at raising money and she's good at blowing it. But money can't buy you elections, especially when you spend it like she did. She raked in more than $1 billion and is somehow now in debt. The Washington Examiner dug through her financial statements and gave us a good clue why. Kamala's campaign was getting whacked like a pinata while D.C. leeches hoovered up all the cash. She spent over $50 million on payroll. Trump's campaign spent less than 10. Another $12 million went to consultants and $20 million went to their little concerts.
$20 million for concerts, for the celebrities, for Oprah, for singers. $1 million to Oprah, really? And Trump's just spending a fraction of all that. You see how that this is an especially bitter pill for the dear leader and others to swallow, because Donald Trump has humiliated them. These are the people that said Donald Trump will never be president. It'll never happen. These are people that laughed Donald Trump to scorn the moment he said he was going to run for president. And now look at where we are. And now look at where they are. Listen again to Jesse. This is clip 3.
Campaign insiders are mad at the bosses for wasting donor money on concerts instead of ads about, you know, the economy. Quote, they said they were spending to zero. I guess they overshot zero. Ads would have gone a lot further than the pricey celebrity endorsements. One campaign source said people were concerned about their own financial issues, not Oprah telling them America won't exist. But it worked out nicely for Oprah. She got her friend Kamala to pay her $1 million to interview her in September. $1 million. Now, if she thought she was saving democracy, she should have done it for free. Kamala scared donors by calling Trump a dictator, got $1 billion, then just gave it to her friends and blew the rest on being a diva. Kamala went on a podcast, remember, Call Her Daddy? But she didn't want to go to their studio in L.A. So she made the host fly to D.C., and used campaign cash to build a fake set in a hotel room. She spent more than $100,000 to build it. That set. See it? Two chairs, a coffee table, and a bookshelf. That's six figures.
This is how these people operate. They love spending other people's money. They love spending your money on worthless things in so many ways. They just blow it. And how's that for Oprah to say, I'll do it for $1 million. I'll help you beat Hitler as long as you give me $1 million. Or I'll help you save democracy as long as you pay me a few hundred thousand for my singing engagement. These people are all frauds. And now they're in debt. They've lost everything. Kamala's ruined her career. The dear leader's gone missing. The New York Post says here, finger-pointing has erupted over the Kamala Harris campaign blowing up to $20 million on swing states concerts Monday night, hours before the VP's spectacular election loss to Trump, prompting concern that everyday staff and vendors won't get paid amid reports the campaign is in debt by the same amount. So now they're all scrambling. Hey, you going to pay us up? I mean, they were spending wildly up until the night before the election, and then she lost in spectacular fashion. And now there's no money left to pay everybody. As I say, these are the people that want to run the U.S. economy. It says the seven swing state concerts on election eve featured performances by Jon Bon Jovi, Christina Aguilera, Katy Perry, and Lady Gaga in Philadelphia. They're all getting paid, these people. I mean, what a bunch of frauds. Serious. I'm sure they're decent people in some ways, but the level of fraud here, as someone said in one of those clips, you know, they're concerned about raking in money themselves and totally, utterly unconcerned about struggling Americans that are having a hard time raking in anything because of runaway costs, inflation, and so on. How out of touch are these elites, the ruling class, the celebrity class? As they go on and on about the threat to democracy. Play that one from the fake president. I forget the number. As he's stepping out of the car and a reporter's asking him, "Do you still consider Trump a threat to democracy?" Why won't you tell the truth, I think, is what the last lady shouted out. But before that, do you still consider Trump a threat to democracy? I'm going to be meeting with him on Wednesday. Oh, okay. So you're going to sit down with Hitler. They don't even believe their own propaganda, as I said last week. Oprah gets out there and says, Trump's Hitler. Trump's a threat to democracy. I'll make sure I get my million. So much fraud. Two sources said that Obama campaign alum Stephanie Cutter pushed the concert concept as a way to woo lower propensity voters to the polls. So this was their strategy as they were coming down the home stretch. We've got to get those lower propensity voters to come to make sure they vote for Kamala because they got to hear Lady Gaga sing. This is from Fox News. Well, I already went through that. $1 million for Oprah. George Clooney announced over the weekend that he's going to take a step back from politics after even some in his beloved Democrat Party have blamed him in part for Kamala's loss. He had the big shindig with Biden. They tried to fake their way through his incompetence, the fact that he was in sharp mental decline, the dear leader having to lead him off the stage by the hand. And Clooney was right there initially saying, yeah, he's sharp as a tack. And then 2 seconds later, yeah, he's losing it. We've got to replace him. There's fraud all the way around. As I say, these are the people, they can't even run a campaign successfully. And they wanted to run the government of the United States. This is from Fox News. FEMA official directed hurricane relief workers to avoid homes with Trump signs as the agency conducted the cleanup. So as it turns out, FEMA actually did deny hurricane relief to Trump supporters. I thought that was a conspiracy theory. Listen to Tom Elliott as he puts together this montage showing, again, the frauds that are there in the regime media. Clip 4.
Politicizing a natural disaster, what FEMA is warning about.
The only person making an accusation that people are not getting what they've asked for is Trump, falsely claiming that the administration is withholding resources because of political affiliation. That is just
Hurricane Milton victims in Florida may have been denied help for being Trump supporters. A FEMA official has now been fired for telling relief workers to bypass homes with Trump vans campaign signs.
They then turn around and go, see, FEMA's not coming to help you because it's a Republican area. And then people go, see, see, no, not see. You've got to see for the first time in your life, if you're MAGA, Donald Trump is a con man using you as his mark. Donald Trump's a ridiculous, pathetic liar.
Well, the Federal Emergency Management Agency is facing major backlash after confirming reports that a supervisor ordered disaster relief workers to avoid homes with Trump yard signs.
What would you say to people propagating misinformation about the emergency response to these storms?
Stop politicizing FEMA.
Elon Musk is hopping about the country, spewing and tweeting political falsehoods and attacking FEMA while claiming his desire to help the hurricane victims with free Starlink access to the internet.
Donald Trump is literally putting lives at risk right now. If you can't trust FEMA and trust basic weather reports, for example, which he's questioned in the past.
Elon Musk, the richest man in the world and top Trump ally, has also pushed lies about the hurricane to his millions of followers on the social media platform he owns.
Now, unfortunately, tragically, quite frankly, it is politicized.
The only person who is politicizing this is Donald Trump. He's the one guy doing it.
The Daily Wire obtained private messages showing a FEMA official instructing hurricane relief workers there to avoid homes with Trump signs.
the one con man spreading misinformation about FEMA, about hurricane relief is Donald Trump. Look at how many con mans there are that rushed to report that you can trust FEMA. This article from Fox News says, in a statement to Fox News Digital, a FEMA spokesperson said the agency is deeply disturbed after the incident, noting the official who gave the instruction was given no direction to tell teams to avoid these homes. And yet he was in a supervisory position and he gave the instructions. If you see a Trump sign in the yard, you avoid them. You steer clear of them. They're on their own. They're the enemy. Even after a hurricane, they're the enemy. And here, the Daily Wire gets the internal communications, and it exposes all of these frauds, just breathlessly reporting that the problem here is Trump and Elon. Trump and Elon actually went in there and provided services for people in North Carolina and Georgia and Eastern Tennessee. No wonder the tone did begin to change pretty abruptly last week as new leadership is chosen. New leadership is being prepared. Strong leadership with respect to the border, with respect to so many other topics as well. Now, the reverberations of these earth-shaking fulfilled prophecies, as I say, they're going to encircle the earth. And we've barely had time to scratch the surface here on today's show. I've got a lengthy section here about this sleeping giant that's about to awaken or reawaken coming out of the heart of Europe. If you don't have our booklet, by the way, I don't see it up here on the table, but if you don't have the Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy, make sure that you secure a free copy of that book. We've got other writings about Germany in Prophecy. I know we've focused quite a lot, and rightfully so, on the bitter affliction, the return of Jeroboam, the silencing of Obama. And I've got a long section on that that I'm excited to get into this week as well. Maybe we'll need to go to two-a-days. At some point, we'll see. God's going to have to give me energy and strength so that we can proclaim this truth that gets God's people so excited as they see these prophecies unfolding. There's just one final resurrection, prophesied resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And this book right there, I mean, it gives you the history where it's happened time and again, just as God said that it would. And we're now living in the last days, just before the seventh and final formation of the Holy Roman Empire. And they're not going to be a friend of the United States or Britain or Judah, the little nation in Israel, or the little Middle Eastern nation called Israel today. They're going to be no friend. There's going to be backstabbing. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be nations, just like there has been historically, breaking out of alliances, you know, lying behind another nation's back, stabbing that individual or that nation rather in the back. This has been history. And we're going to play through or live through one final round of it. If you'd like to email the program with some feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Let's zip ahead here to a couple of emails since we have a minute that remains. And I'll reserve, as I say, these other segments for tomorrow and beyond. The email address, as I say, td@thetrumpet.com. This one here says, congratulations, Mr. Fleury Sr., able to predict what this famous history professor from California's America University could not predict right. He's been famous for predicting the winner of 9 out of the 10 past presidential elections. And that's the reason that he's shocked. I guess, I don't know who it is, but I guess it didn't work out for him this time. I wish they had known about Mr. Fleury, his prediction about Bible prophecy and his books and the books that you reprint of Mr. Armstrong. I wish that he knew of the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine and the daily news podcast, The Trumpet Daily, by the executive editor. Well, there he goes. And the news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. A good plug for just about everything we produce. If you aren't a subscriber to The Trumpet Magazine, just call our operators today and request your free one-year subscription. No cost, no obligation. Well, there you have it. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.